big win in Winnipeg last night. They're now even with the Jets. 1-1 in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Nuggets are off until tomorrow night. It's going to be a fun night of sports tomorrow with the NFL draft. Broncos on in the 12th pick and then game three in L.A. The Avs are off until Friday when they shift back home. They're going to come to Ball Arena and should be back in the Mile High City right now. Stoke, we've talked a lot about Alexander Georgiev, his performance, the big bounce back win. They get a 5-2 victory. Now, we don't know about Justus Onanen. Let's scroll Twitter and see if we see anything about his airport press conference there. But let's assume, I don't know if I should, but it feels like it's safe to assume that by Friday, we'll be, 5 days into Onanen's sickness, he should be feeling somewhat better, you hope, for his sake and for our sake. It's still a pretty short leash, right, with Alexander Georgiev, especially if Onanen is suited up and available for Jared Bednar on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how short the leash is, but certainly that's still in play in a conversation. I don't think, you know, you're not going to give up one goal. Like, I mean, we just saw it last night. Gave up one early goal and then settled in there. So you're going to give him some time. And what does it look like? How does he look in net? And I think that's the biggest thing. But certainly, yes, like that hasn't gone away just because you played a good game last night. So that's still in play. Replacing Georgie.
Mm-hmm.
He bought himself some time here, but it's a playoff, so you don't have time to let him work things out and take your time here, buddy. Nope. He's got to get it done, and he did last night, so kudos to him for that, but it's got to continue moving forward.
Yeah, and it looks like Prosvetov has been sent back to the Eagles. So Onanen must be okay. He's feeling better, not sick, okay. Available to play. Take his jersey, be sitting on the bench, and be your backup if you have to go to him. So he will be there Friday night. He will be in an Avs sweater and all padded up just in case his number and name get called if Alexander Georgiev can't return to the form that he was last night. I don't know. I still feel sort of that same way of we'll see him. And I did not feel that way heading into the postseason because I thought they'd just give it to Georgie and let him work through some of this stuff. But I changed my tune quickly after game one, and I still didn't see enough of it in game two to get me back on that side.
Yeah. And it's I don't know if he can do enough here in the playoffs to quiet those questions, right? I mean, it's just where we've been here leading up to the playoffs, how game one went. I just don't think it's possible for him to just put that away,
mm-hmm.
and not have that question being asked about possibly replacing him. I think that's going to be in play this whole postseason, and hopefully we don't see it, but he's just got to show more consistency. And it's been almost a boom or bust for him, and you can't have that, not in the playoffs. So it's you need the consistency from him, and it was good, though. I mean, give him credit. Gave up an early goal and then settled in there. Got a few lucky breaks there. One of them hit the post, and they were about to go up 3-1. Different ball game there.
Sure.
And then hella Buick. I mean, I don't know what the hell he was doing. coming out of net trying to play the puck and like then whiffing on it. It's like
he missed completely.
I mean, just
it was
like,
between his legs and he missed completely.
Right, looking like me out there on skates trying to hit a puck. I mean, like. So, I mean, but the Avs took advantage of it, obviously, and they did a good job of fighting back. And then Georgie did a good job of settling down there. So, kudos to him,
mm-hmm.
and kudos to that team for getting it done. That's all you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. We talked about it yesterday, and I said it. I'm like, hey, just trying to get one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, okay, you got your butt whipped. You gave up 7. It was a bad loss, okay? Bad loss would have been 2-1, too. I mean, they're all the same in the playoffs. Did you win or did you lose? They took a tough one, but you're just really trying to get one of these. That would be nice, and they were able to do that last night, and that's what was so good about the Nuggets game. Look, they did nothing after game one. They needed to win both of those mm-hmm. games at home,
mm-hmm.
Or it was a big disappointment, and they were able to come back and win that. Now all the pressure, obviously, is on the Lakers, so the pressure's on Winnipeg here to try to steal one at Ball Arena, so... they did what they needed to do and took care of business, and that was a big one.
Yeah, and we mentioned earlier about Jets fans, Jets players. Like, you lose home ice knowing who you are in round one. The feelings that we had after game one. It's now switched. Everything is flipped because of who the Jets have been in the first round. You said something there. You on the ice. This image popped into my head. It's me and you, center ice down at Ball Arena.
Uh-huh.
You're shooting.
The gloves come off right away.
Probably, right? Yeah.
Drop the gloves.
Who hits a puck into the net without a goalie first?
Probably not me.
From center ice, too.
Yeah, I don't know if I can stand up on skates. I've never put skates on my feet.
What? Never?
Never, ever.
Really?
Right. Really. Dude, I grew up in Louisiana. Yeah, like, what am I putting skates on? For what?
You can go, like, on ice skating dates?
I grew up in Louisiana. We didn't have any, you know, ice skating rinks around. Now they do.
Okay.
They do now. But back then, no. I mean, that wasn't, like, we don't ice skate down there.
Weird.
No.
So you've never actually had skates on your feet?
No.
That
never.
Is so strange to me.
But, and then I got to the age to where it's like, okay, like, again, like risk reward.
Yeah.
I don't see myself, like, cruising around the ice rink on Saturday night, so why would I even venture to do it? I know my limitations. I won't be a good ice skater, and all I'm going to do is hurt myself and look like a complete clown. No, thank you. I don't know. That's my mindset. I might be like, oh, that's a loser mentality. That's just my mindset there because I know I'm not good at it. Why even try it or do it at the age of, like, at the age of 28? Why?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make much sense. Can you ice skate at all?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then definitely you, dude. I don't even know if I can stand up on it. Seriously. How hard is it to stand up on, like, just stand
Not
up on?
Not very hard.
Really?
Not very hard.
But the blade is so thin. It seems
but you got strong ankles. You're athletic. You're agile.
I used to have strong ankles. I used to be athletic, and I used to be agile. Not anymore.
I guess it's like I didn't think about it because I grew up here.
Right.
And you go to ice skating rinks and you go up to Evergreen and you play pond hockey and you know what I mean? Like that's the stuff you do as a child.
Yeah, not in South Louisiana.
Okay.
You go to the bayou. And the bayou's not frozen.
What do? You noodle?
You noodle. You catch gators.
Yeah.
Go frogging.
What does that mean?
Frogging?
You just collect frogs?
Yeah.
And then eat them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Frog legs.
No, I'm not down on frog legs. I'll eat frog legs.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've never done that stuff, but
sure.
Go out there like with a spotlight or something and frogging.
Yeah.
We didn't ice skate, so I don't know how to do it. That's not my thing. I wish I did. It'd be fun. I would be nervous just to try to stand up on him.
I'd love to see. You look like Bambi out there.
Right.
A little
exactly.
Weak legs.
Yeah, exactly.
But, dude, there's nothing better. This is for me now.
Okay.
I know you're a little different. But you go like Highland Hills or a little skate rink up there. Rent a couple of skates.
Right.
Just get out there with your lady. You hold hands. You do a couple of circles.
Right.
The vibes are good. And then you go get lunch or something.
Yeah, no.
Lana would love that.
No. No, she wouldn't.
Oh, she wouldn't?
No. Nah. She doesn't know how to skate either. So, like, that would not be good. Not good.
They're both looking like Bambi out there falling on the ground.
I mean, like, that's a wrist injury waiting to happen.
Okay.
Or, like, a hit your head, something like that. It's, I'm serious. I don't know if I could even stand up.
Wow.
Like, could you think I could, like, make it across from, like, goal to goal?
You'd fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd fall.
I'm just trying to get the technique down.
Have you rollerbladed?
Rollerbladed?
It's the same movement.
Have not rollerbladed.
What have you done with your life?
Just played 15 years in the NFL. I don't know. That's about it. Not much.
You should have been rollerblading around the dang locker room.
No, I never rollerbladed. I barely roller skated. And I wasn't good at that. So I'm not like, I don't know, man. No, like rollerblading, like you rollerbladed?
I mean, you played roller hockey and that was rollerblades.
Okay, yeah, no.
But you didn't go to like roller, you know, the roller rink on Friday nights and squirt invisible ink on the girl that you like? You didn't do any of that stuff?
No.
Weird.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm weird.
No, I think I'm weird on this
one. Okay,
I think I'll take
too.
The L on that.
Roller City on a Friday night, dude? It's a spot.
Nope, not for me.
Okay. Well, now there is another layer to this abs conversation I wanted to have, but that really threw me off.
Yeah.
You've never had skates on your feet?
Nope.
Wow.
Never have.
Interesting. All right, well, more field trips for the show.
I know. Maybe we need to try it out. I think I'm out.
Well, we'll get you, like, helmet. We'll get
shoulder
you full
pads.
Full, yeah.
Yeah. All right, maybe so.
I can't
probably
wait
not.
To see it. All right, 303-713-1043. All right, does that surprise you like it surprised me? Stokes never ice skated there. We also have Brent who says, I'm a Colorado native, and I've never put on a pair of skates either. So you got some backup here.
See?
You and Brent. That's it.
Shout out, Brent.
You and Brent. All right, when we get back, I do want to get back to the Broncos and talk about something that we learned today from Diana Russini. Maybe the Broncos are all in on a big trade up to go get their quarterback. We'll tell you what she's reporting next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
It's a day before the NFL draft, so of course there's all kinds of things happening right now in the NFL. Rumors, just straight lies being told, and of course people trying to get their guy without giving up their play before this thing officially starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. So let's go to something Diana Russini said today. I believe she was on a podcast with Athletic Folks. I think this is where this is from. Is that correct? Diana says, quote, most teams picking the top five believe that the Broncos could make a big swing with a package that could even include star cornerback and fifth-year option pickup Pat Surtain II and more players on expiring deals if Peyton's true love is there, end quote. So we wondered if PS2 was a part of this conversation. We also kicked around the idea, Stoke, that it's a... You don't have to give up the future first, or at least as much future draft capital, if Patrick Surtain II is involved in a trade. They did pick up his option, as she hinted at, so they're going to pay him about $19 million in year five. Do you think that's the case? After picking up the option, I mean, that was inevitable. They had to do that no matter what, right?
Right, yeah.
So that, I don't know how much that plays into it. It just happened to be the timeline that it worked. Okay, happened yesterday, and now Diana is still reporting that Patrick Surtain II could be involved in a trade. But she uses a term that you've been using for a few months now. It's got to be the guy. It's got to be the one true love, as she put, that you're going to go and make the deal and say bye to Patrick Surtain, but for the right guy for Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody's in play here. If it's a quarterback that you love, I mean, who's off limits? No one. It's cornerback or quarterback. I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
How have we done with a, you know, top three cornerback in the league the last 3 years? Not very good. So everybody on this roster's in play to possibly be traded. And certainly if it's for a quarterback, and certainly if it's a quarterback that you love. Yeah. So it's not anything like a knock against Pat Surtain. It's actually like a positive. You're our best player, and it might take you for us to be able to move up to go get that quarterback. And certainly if Sean Payton loves one of these quarterbacks and that's what it's going to take, well, then that's what it's going to take. You know, I mean, they're not going to turn down the deal if their quarterback's there and the team asks for Pat Surtain. So I mean, that's just the nature of the business, right? And so you need a quarterback, and if it takes trading a Surtain, then that's what you'll do.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Again, we both like him. We both think he's the best player on the Denver Broncos. When we talked about the uniforms, like if you're going to buy a new Broncos uniform, the only player to buy is Patrick Surtain II.
Well, I disagree with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Who would you buy?
Zach Wilson.
Oh.
Of course. Shout out to Carson Stokely.
Well, I would buy for Carson, of course.
You know, his old screensaver on his phone was Zach Wilson in a Jets jersey.
Oh, really?
It's now Zach Wilson in a Broncos 5 jersey.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Okay, he's ahead of the curve on all this,
yeah.
Dude.
Oh, yeah. So
we should actually have him on and ask him about Zach.
Exactly. We will be buying a Zach Wilson Broncos jersey, though. So, like, if you see one around, I don't know, do I have to, like, maybe just go to the pro shop or the gift shop? Yeah, the team store over there in the indoor facility. Like, remember when the Josh Dobbs, like, he went to the went to their team shop and he was doing it online, but they didn't even have his available. So
yeah,
like, I could just go there and you can just do it on a computer, like on, like, push the button,
I assume,
and then they make it up for you.
Yeah,
right.
I haven't been to the Broncos team store in a while, but I'm assuming that's it.
Okay, and we don't know what number he is for sure, do we?
Mrs. Wilson, his mother, her Instagram hinted that it would be 5.
Okay.
Right. I don't know if that's just like he said that or she asked somebody to Photoshop her son in a New Jersey and they picked five and she ran with it. It could be something as simple as that, too.
I think she has inside info, so I'm just assuming he's going to be five then.
Okay.
All right.
Who was, was Teddy Bridgewater five?
Sounds right.
Is that the last Broncos quarterback that was five?
I remember Flacco was.
Flacco was five.
Flacco
really?
Was five? Oof. Flacco, Bridgewater, Zach Wilson. I don't know if I like where that's going.
It's time to, but it's okay.
Oh, he's going to buck the trend.
That's right. Yeah, that's fine. He's going to buck the trend there. So, you're right there. I mean, it's Sertan, right? And then a close second, Zach Wilson.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, it takes a lot to move up a lot, right? If you're talking about moving up from 12 to what, 4? 12 to, probably not 5, right? Because that's a Chargers. 12 to 6 or whatever the case. I mean, It takes a lot to be able to do that, and you might have to trade one of your best players.
I mean, it's as simple as it's not as simple, but as good as PS2 is and how many people love Patrick Surtain II, as you should, if they do trade Pat and they landed J.J. McCarthy, let's just use those two names for this hypothetical trade, and J.J. hits, as good as Pat was and how many of you have his jersey hanging in your closet right now, you're not going to miss him a second because quarterback is where it's all at.
That's right.
But I mean, if it's a miss, then it's the worst trade of all time, and it costs Sean and George Payton their jobs.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just the nature of doing business in the NFL, right? I mean, it's high stakes, high reward.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you miss, then, it might cost you your job. But, like, Sean's not scared. I don't know about George. He might be a little hesitant, but he's got nothing to lose. He's on borrowed time. But Sean Payton's not scared. If he sees his guy, he'll go get his guy.
Mm-hmm.
He don't care, right? And I like that about it. I mean, he started off with an onside kick last year.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's worried about, like, what I'm going to say about him, what you're going to say about him, or his job security. I think he's okay financially. He's coached a long time. He's already won a Super Bowl. So, like, if he sees his guy, he'll go get his guy, and I don't think he's nervous about, well, if I miss, man, oh, my gosh, I might get fired in 2 years. So I don't think that's the case at all with Sean Payton. So if he sees him, I think he's very aggressive to go get him. And if there's a possibility for him to get his guy, all right, Surtain, first-round picks, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I want my quarterback. And that's how bad it was last year. I mean, you got to, we already know Sean Payton's aggressive, right?
Oh, yeah.
You just got to take a step back and realize who Sean Payton is. He's an offensive coach. He had Drew Brees forever in New Orleans, right? And so that's what he's used to. That's the standard, that type of offensive football. And now you come here, and you had to babysit your quarterback last year and hold that quarterback's hand. That's what drove him crazy, right? So, that should tell you all you need to know about how aggressive Sean Payton's going to be to find his quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And not just Stidham and Zach Wilson, like, find his dude.
Yeah, because that's not the dude. Those are the guys right now, but they're not the dude.
Right, he's looking for a Drew Brees type of dude, right? And what's easier said than done.
Of course.
That's his standard, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, you don't think he's going to be aggressive to get that guy?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Draft coming up tomorrow night. Cannot wait for it to go down and figure out what happens with this 12th overall pick. All right, let's change gears a bit here. We have an update on the punch thrown at another fan by Nikola Jokic's brother, plus some punches thrown at Kendrick Perkins from TNT. Details next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Talk a little bit about the Nuggets here. Just some hoop stuff in it for a quick little conversation, because we know the Nuggets are up 2-0. We know Jamal hit the big shot to put them up 2-0, but that wasn't the only story coming out of game number two. It was a bad one up in the stands where a video surfaced. I saw a couple people locally have it and sharing it on social media accounts, but then, it's big when TMZ gets involved, and TMZ had the video on their social and their website yesterday of one of Nikola Jokic's brothers punching another dude in the face. Kudos to the dude, too. Just took that thing. He didn't even fall. Just ate it.
Yeah.
Kept running his mouth a little bit. Found out yesterday that not only is the NBA going to do their own investigation into that incident, as are Denver police. And I don't really know what it's going to mean. Like we said, it is different. They are going to get treated a little differently because they're Nikola Jokic's brothers. That's how the world works. But with it on video and, you know, kind of the whole world seeing it, I don't know how they give him a pass.
Well, I think it was a misunderstanding there. I don't know if it was him or someone next to him that actually
could have been the fan in front of him.
Yeah, so we got to get a better camera angle, I think, to really make sure of who actually threw it. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing there. And then also,
you know, it could have been the same guy that threw that chair off the top of the bar up
there.
Nashville.
Yeah, and Morgan's might have been Morgan's buddy, right? Yeah, definitely. So there's still investigations that need to go on here because. I couldn't really see if that was Jokic's brother that did that because there was another guy next to him that was next to him. And so, like I said, it was a grainy video, and we just really couldn't tell who actually threw it. So I want to make sure. I want to see if we got some other videos. If not, I don't think there's anything to see here.
Okay.
So, and then, you know, also there, I don't know, like they said that no one filed any kind of report, police report or whatever. And so it's like, all right, until someone does that, really, like, we're nothing to see here, but and then, you know, our great men and women in blue, you know, they got a tough job to do, and I think we could use their resources maybe doing some other stuff downtown.
Probably,
you know, a lot of other stuff that needs to be done, like, you know, all the cars that'll be stolen around town, et cetera. So I would rather their valuable time and their resources be used elsewhere. That's where I'm at.
That's well said.
Thank you.
That's very well
said. Thank you very much.
And look, I didn't know that
could I be a lawyer, maybe?
Maybe have to. The vocabulary's got to get tightened up a bit.
Does it?
Yeah, just a bit.
Really?
You need to spend some time with Judge Dante Jacobs. He'll get you right on.
Yeah, I think I might. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Is Dan from Colorado?
I believe so.
Talks like he's from Louisiana from time to time. So maybe you could.
Right.
You know,
I could be a lawyer down south in Louisiana.
There you go.
Not here.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know what? I'd hire you.
Yeah.
I'd hire you to get me out of some.
I mean, right there, look at that. We can't see.
First client.
All right.
Boom.
Damn.
It's only a matter of time for me to need a lawyer, right? So, boom. There's my guy.
Yeah,
Stoke.
I got you.
Right there waiting for me. All right. So, yeah, we'll see what it comes. And if the guy didn't press any charges, you know what that would mean? Like, if I got into an altercation and someone punched me in the face and I decided not to press charges, I'd probably come to the realization of, like, maybe I deserve to get punched in the face.
Yeah.
You know?
You might wake up the next morning like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have been running my mouth so
much. Right.
So that could be the case. Yeah, we'll see. Sometimes you wake up the next morning and you see, you know, dollar signs. And you say, maybe I'll go this different direction. So I don't know. Yeah, if he's not pressing charges, then there's probably, you know, nothing going to happen. I don't know if the NBA steps in and says, or the Nuggets step in. You know, it could be a situation where, you know, sometimes it's like, hey, Nikola, your brother, he can't be here the rest of the playoffs. Something like that. Like, we can't see him the rest of the playoffs. And then, you know, things might cool down for next year.
Oh, okay.
Right? Just one of those kind of wink-wink, hey, we just keep him away or have him watch it at home. Because if not, then we're going to have to take the next step and we're have to come out with a ban. Or just if he can just stay away for the rest of the playoffs, then all is good. Might be nothing. Might be nothing at all. Like, hey, they might not have saw it like me. They might not have saw anything either. I need to see more video.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the Nuggets are going to tell them anything.
Right.
And they oblige.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's one of those things where it's like, if you don't, then
we have to do the next
step. Then we got to take the next step here where the pressure's on them from the NBA.
Oh,
right.
I
like,
see.
If we do this, then the NBA will stay out of it. Mm-hmm. If this doesn't happen, then the NBA is going to get involved and you won't be back at Ball Arena for, you know, 6 months, a year, something like
that.
I don't know. But that could be the situation, and it might be nothing.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Like I said, investigation's underway. Let's see if anything comes with it. If we know or when we know, you will as well. Also saw on TNT last night, and just because I don't like Kendrick Perkins, I think he's one of the worst media personalities in the world, in the history of basketball. I really enjoyed Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. They brought a punching bag to studio last night on TNT, taped Kendrick Perkins' face to it, and then beat the hell out of it.
Wow.
And they kept calling him a cockroach.
Wow.
I didn't understand it. I don't really know, but maybe they're you know, he was taking his shots at Reggie. Reggie's a TNT guy.
Oh.
You got my back. We're on the same team kind of thing. But I really enjoyed watching Shaq and Charles punch Kendrick Perkins, you know, photo of him in the face while calling him a cockroach over and over.
Yeah, I didn't see that. But that's interesting. I don't know. Like, is there big beef there, little beef there? Were they messing around? Were they being serious? Did it start because of the Reggie Miller comments that he made? Yeah, interesting. Very, very interesting there.
I'm all in on media. I'm all in on all beefs. I love beef.
Yeah.
But media beefs?
Yeah, that's
it's
good.
It's more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. I guess we'll keep our eye out on that one.
I would take Chuck and Shaq over Kendrick.
Yeah, I think so.
Shaq handles that on his own.
Right, yeah.
Charles just cheers him on from the sideline. All right, the other thing we learned this morning. Soak, you're going to have to help me with this one because I don't know why it's such a big story about Reggie Bush. He gets his 2005 Heisman back all these years later. We know he was given money and his parents were given a home, right? I think was the big
stuff
one.
Stuff like that,
Who the hell cares? I don't. All right, cool. I never really looked at the 2005 Heisman as vacated because I saw Reggie get the trophy. I saw him be great all that entire year. I saw him be damn near unstoppable that entire season. So I don't know. This is kind of all for nothing for me.
Well, for you, but not for Reggie.
Sure.
You know, and you look at you know, that year, obviously. I mean, Reggie was such a great college player. And I think you, like, we remember it, but like my son doesn't. And so you go back through the history of the Heisman Trophy winners and, you know, his name's, I guess, not on there, right? Because it was vacated. So I think it is a big deal for him. And especially with everything that has changed, you know, with NIL and guys getting paid like so much money now, it's kind of like, all right, what are we doing here, guys? I mean, seriously, like enough's enough here. He was the best player in college football. He's one of the best players ever in college football. And just give the man back his Heisman. Come on. And they're doing that, which I think is the right thing to do. And so I think for a guy like Reggie Bush, it's, you know, it means a lot money-wise, advertising. I mean, you see those guys with the Heisman house and stuff like that. And, you know, just being able to say I was the Heisman Trophy winner, which, you know, now you can say now you got your trophy. I think that's really cool. I'm glad that they did it. Like, just have some common sense, people.
Yeah.
It was long enough. He's been punished enough for whatever happened to think that he was the only one ever doing it, and he just got caught. And it's all good. The landscape has changed so much. Give that man his Heisman back. I think it's awesome. You know, it might not mean much to us, but I do. I think they're doing the right thing here, where sometimes you get some of these organizations and people, and there's just like, just, you know, a little bit like Kisner, you know, but he's not old, grumpy man. This is the rule.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you didn't call within 5 seconds of the time limit. You can't be qualified to be in this contest. You know, that's what Kisner's
about. He is, yeah.
A great listener. Like, dude, give him a little grace period here.
We want him to win.
Right.
On our show.
Because it's like, sorry, bye, hangs up. I'm like, goodness, chicken fingers, man. What?
Let's see if you get the legal ID today.
Oh, wow. Shots fired.
I like the power that he has and knows that he has.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Every now and then he twists the knife and uses it. But I think, like, all right, hey, guys, common sense here prevailed. Good job by the Heisman Trust or whatever they call themselves in getting this right.
You know what I hadn't thought about, and you're absolutely right about, is his ability to continue making money off of that. Because you're right, like, hey, go. We want you to make a speech, and we're going to introduce you as 2005 Heisman Trophy winner Reggie Bush. Now you got to pay me for that. Pay me for that title. I earned it. You're absolutely right about that. I didn't even consider that.
That's what I'm here for, Josh.
Nice work.
To help you out.
And look, I want to earn more money, right? Anyway, I can earn more money. I'm going to earn some dang more money. So.
Yeah, and those commercials that they do and just all of that, being a Heisman winner is very valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't know. It's also the state of the Heisman, you know, if it's not as
important what it once was.
As it once was. Yeah.
I agree with you there. It's not what it was.
Well, congratulations, Reggie, and hope your folks still got that house that was given to you that cost you that thing early on. All right, we're going to take our final timeout. I'm so fired up for what's coming up next because I got a piece of sound that I don't believe Stokely has heard, and I spent, Stokely, roughly 3.5 hours listening to it yesterday, and I'll play it for you.
Wow.
Coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You got everybody looking. kind of lucky. You know it.
Got a little boom in my big truck. Gonna open my doors and turn it up. Gonna stomp my boots in the Georgia
mud.
Gonna watch you make me fall.
Oh, is it? Get up on the hood of my daddy's track. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's right.
Down on the tailgate. I'd love that. I'd love it.
We're high on Luke McCaffrey, huh?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Wouldn't mind seeing old Luke come to Colorado.
No, that'd be awesome.
Of his pops. All right, it is our final segment. We're going to get out of the way at 2 and turn things over to Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay. They are the drive, of course. We'll get you through 6 o'clock this evening. And then Denver Sports tonight. Never miss anything with the digital crew getting you home from 6 to 7. It's slow, but we are going to tell you what we're going to watch tonight, where our attention will be. But I have to show you something, or let you listen to something that I found yesterday, thanks to our own Kevin Kistner. You know I love Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
I love this guy.
I know where you're going, but the good news is, I've seen it, but I haven't heard it.
Oh, really?
So I haven't heard this, yes. So I can't wait to hear it. You do love Jameis.
I love this guy.
Yes. One of your all-time favorites. You wanted to bring him. Where did he go? Where is
Cleveland.
He?
Cleveland, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's one of the 19 quarterbacks the Browns currently employ.
Yeah, perfect. Good job, Cleveland.
Which is strange, but yeah, par for the course for the Browns. God, I would pay so much money to be a fly on the wall of Jameis Winston and Jerry Jeudy having a conversation.
Oh,
unbelievable,
wow.
The nonsense that would come out of that. But, so you've seen this, and it's on social, and SportsCenter had it, and ESPN was sharing some of it. Apparently, Jameis is spending some time doing some fishing. I don't know, maybe down in Florida. Maybe I'm sure you can fish in Cleveland in certain places.
I don't know about that. If you want to do that.
Catch one of those three-eyed fishes from The Simpsons probably down there.
Exactly.
He was fishing and decided to do a video and educate us on the kind of fish I think they were using as bait or catching, but let's let Jameis. Oh, they were catching.
Yeah, there was two big fish on the boat.
Okay. Well, he's explaining the fish he has in his hand, and it is gold.
This is a redfin herring I'm holding right now, and as you know, he's wobbling. Wobble with me. He isn't able to talk because he is an amphibian. No, he's a fish. I'm sorry, redfin herring. If you've seen SpongeBob, you see a lot of redfin herrings, but you don't see them get caught a lot. Redfin herring. If you look at this, the fins, you can see a slight thread coming off right here. To explain the significance of thread fins. I just literally made that up.
Yes, Kev. This guy.
What the hell just happened?
It is going to be the biggest regret of my media life to not have this guy a part of my media life.
Yeah. Just imagine if he was here, how entertaining things would be. He's just making stuff up.
Called it a redfin herring at first.
Yeah, not like a bird or something. Huh?
Yeah, it is. A herring is a bird.
Okay, yeah. And then he was totally wrong on that. And, wow. I was buying it. I was. I just thought, because he grew up fishing, right? He likes fishing. I thought he knew what he was talking about. He has no clue of what he's talking about. But this is par for the course for Jameis, right? You know, he's eating the W's. This is the guy that took a vote on if they should score a touchdown the last game of the year against the Falcons.
In the huddle, right.
When they're at the 1 yard line and almost got his head coach's ass kicked, right? Who's the coach for the Falcons? Wanted to pound Dennis Allen.
Arthur Smith.
Yes. So, I mean, this is par for the course for Jameis. This is why we love him, though. It's entertaining.
Yeah. I just got to hear the wobble part again.
This is a redfin herring I'm holding right now, and as you know, he's wobbling. Wobble with me.
Unbelievable.
And he actually wobbled. He did the wobble during the presentation right there. Oh, gosh. I told you. I'm not kidding. About 45 minutes straight, watch that back-to-back.
He's entertaining, and you just never know what's coming out of his mouth. Just never know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and they are saying the fish he's talking about is it's a fish. It's a bait fish.
Okay. Because the video I saw, like I said, I didn't hear it. They have two bigger fish on the thing that are kind of flopping around on the boat. And this might have been just a different video altogether. So, It's you just never know what you're going to get with that guy.
I love that guy so much, man. That is one of my favorite athletes of all time. And nothing to do with him on the field. He's just unbelievable. All right, so some fun right there. Something else I saw last night that I thought was weird, Stoke, is Caitlin Clark, her NIL deal. Mm-hmm. So I found out that she made about $3 million in college, $3.1 million with she had the insurance. What is it when she pops up or whatever?
State Farm.
State Farm.
Okay.
She had a couple of other deals, some local stuff, I'm assuming, there. So about $3 million in a couple years in college. That's pretty solid, right?
Yeah.
$3 million for a college kid is about $3 million more than the rest of those college kids that she's hanging out with. And now we found out, as the number one overall pick, she's going to make, what was it, $338,000 in 4 years of her rookie deal. That's obviously not a lot of money for her level of athlete. Well, Nike has stepped in, and I think she's going to be just fine. Caitlin Clark and Nike has agreed to an 8-year, $28 million deal that will, of course, include a signature shoe for Caitlin Clark that they hope comes out sooner rather than later before her rookie year comes to an end. So she's only going to make $338,000 from the WNBA in the next 4 years, but in the next 8 years, Nike will give her $28 million.
So about a little, you know, $3.5 million a year, right around there, is pretty good. Pretty darn good. So she did pretty good in college. Obviously, her salary in the WNBA is, you know, when it compared to other sports leagues, is nothing.
Yeah.
But she's going to make a lot of money with all this other stuff, obviously. So good for her. That's really cool. Can't wait to see what the shoes look like. 8 years. That's a long deal. So, you're going to buy a pair?
Probably not.
No.
You?
I'm not really a shoe guy like you are. So no, I won't buy. If I had a little girl, a daughter, I would, I'd buy her a pair, but I don't. So
yeah, I guess like if a niece asked, like, I want some basketball shoes, that would be the pair I'd go buy.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to buy them for myself.
I heard Zach and Phil talking about it, and do you think this works out? And this was the question that Zach asked, so I'll give him credit for it. But do you think who does it work out better for here, Nike or Caitlin Clark?
Oh, that is a great question.
Well, yeah, I thought of it myself.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's my question.
I think Caitlin Clark. I mean, I don't know. It's if she really is this person that she's been, right? She's done all the work. Like, she has made women's sports relevant. And not trying to be rude, mean, take a shot. They just weren't before her.
Not to the level it is now, obviously.
Right, right. Yeah. But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Her star power. It's appointment television.
Just saying a little bit better. Just saying a little bit better than you. Just so the phones don't light up here.
Is on TV, right? Like, that's, you watch Caitlin Clark. As much as Angel Reese was a star, we're not turning our TV on to watch Angel. Watching Caitlin.
There was only one.
Yeah.
And it's Caitlin. That was it. It's her, and it's like Scottie Scheffler. It's him and everyone else. It's Caitlin Clark and everyone else.
I wish there was another version, and maybe I'm asking too much because she's the first of. I just don't think there's enough of it in the WNBA for us to continue to make it appointment television. I think the first couple of years, yeah. And then hopefully, who's the girl from UConn? Paige Buchers, right? If she gets in there and maybe there's.
No.
No? No. Not going to work?
No. No. No.
So it's Nike then. I mean, it's Caitlin.
No, I think Nike ends up okay in this deal. I think because her star power, like, she's different.
Of course she is.
You know, she's like the Tiger Woods of women's basketball right now, right? She's the outlier. And like I said, like, if you're looking to get a pair of shoes, if you're looking to get merchandise, and I had a daughter, guess what? We're going to get those Caitlin Clarks. So I do. I think Nike ends up on the positive on this, and it ends up being a great deal for them because I think she'll continue with the star power that she has, and she's just a different person. And will it be the same level that it was in college? I don't think so. I just don't in the WNBA. But I still think she's got that star power to move the needle and make this a great deal for Nike.
Okay. I don't know. I have some question marks about it. What she's done has been absolutely incredible, and no woman has ever accomplished what she has been able to accomplish. And
how many shoes would you have to sell for this to be like a good deal for Nike? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
For this to work out and be a positive for them?
$28.5 million worth?
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver worth?
He wanted to blow the whistle on you, too.
He did. He just couldn't.
I should have known you were looking up, and I'm like, is he gathering a thought here?
Usually I look down when I'm gathering a thought, like, holy cow, hurry up. Come to my mind, please, quickly. Yeah, looking up, that should have gave it away. Something's off here. Oh, my goodness.
You got me all thinking about how much money. That was good on your part.
You,
that was
much.
Really good.
You,
I was
you.
Trying to do math in my head.
Right. You're like, well, oh, 5,000 times. How much do we know how much the shoes will cost?
I'd imagine $200.
Really? That's how expensive, like, these shoes are?
I feel like that's what every basketball pair of shoes?
I don't know. I don't buy basketball shoes.
That's what it is. It's about $150 and $200. Okay. If you're getting a player's signature shoe.
Okay. All right. Do the math, Kisner. How much do you have to sell? Last time I tried to do math, I was a little bit off.
Yeah.
And so I want to stay away from that today. But it's, it'd be interesting to see how this thing looks from Nike's perspective, how the shoes do. I would think the shoes would do awesome. I mean, just like crush it.
If you're a women's basketball player,
yes.
You get that shoe.
Right.
That's the shoe you get.
And I think if you probably are just a female in general and you like sneakers, that's probably one, like, at the top of my list right there, right?
Yeah.
So, but if you play sports, middle school, high school, like, I would think that that's what you would want to wear and buy. I don't know. So, I do. I think it's, I think Nike will end up on the positive on this one. But obviously, great deal for Caitlin Clark, making, you know, $3.5 million a year for the next 8 years or so. And Yeah. So good for her.
Kevin said about 150,000 pairs of shoes.
Yeah. That's
nice. That's doable. That's pretty easy to do, I think. Right? You can sell 150,000 shoes if you're Caitlin Clark.
I would think so. Yes.
Be easy.
I mean, that's over 8 years.
Yeah.
Or is that right?
That equals $30 million.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think that's certainly. Manageable.
Okay.
I don't know how many, like, they tried. I don't know. You know, there's, like, how many LeBrons do they sell in a year? Is it 1.5 million?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know those numbers.
Suck, so I bet it's lower than that.
Okay.
He has the worst basketball shoe ever.
Gotcha. Yeah, see, I don't follow that stuff. I just, like, okay. Like, if I'm going to buy a pair of Nike shoes or whatever, it's going to be Jordans.
Yeah.
You know?
Kevin Durant has the most popular basketball playing shoe right now. Like, the people that poop wear his shoes.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, 150, that's kind of low, I thought. Let's fact check something on me, basically.
Oh.
We got some bird experts on the text line. A heron is a bird, not a herring.
Oh.
And people are mad at us that we screwed that up.
They're mad at, we got a lot of bird listeners.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, apologies.
Yeah, apologies to you bird folks out there.
Yes.
We hope everything is okay. I guess as you get older, you get more into birds, is what I was told. Like bird watching.
Well, no, I don't, no.
I'm asking you, you're older.
Yeah, but who told you that?
Older people.
Yeah, no, that's not true. But I will say this, maybe you appreciate them a little bit more. Like if I'll be sitting out there like, oh, look at that blue thing. Look at those colors. You know, or like, look at that red thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's a herring, what it is, but like, that is really cool.
Yeah.
So I think maybe to that degree.
Okay.
But like, yeah, it is what it is. Like, you know, like, if you're not, like, I'm not going out there with binoculars looking around for birds, but when they fly by, I think maybe I appreciate the scenery.
There you go.
The scenery. See, I told you, today was a better day for me.
That's right.
Everything's a lot more clearer today.
You're well rested.
Was yesterday. Well rested.
You're like the Nuggets after the All-Star break.
That's right.
You're rested
I needed
ready
some
to go.
Rest.
Yeah.
I mean, work with me a little bit here yesterday,
that's
please.
Right. All right, it is a slower night. We do have the Rockies, so I guess maybe we'll pay somewhat attention to what's going on down at Coors Field, because if they win today, they could actually win a series with a win tomorrow, but let's not get too crazy with the Rocks. And then, of course, draft day
tomorrow.
They got
to win. They have to win today to have a chance to win the series.
And this would be it. The Nuggets or the Avs will win a series, if this isn't the one, before the Rockies can win a series.
That's right.
So that's what we're keeping our eye on.
If they take care of their business, right? Because it's a four-gamer here against
four-gamer
Padres.
And, two
and it's 1-1 right now.
Yep.
So, yeah, so if they don't win it, the best they can do is .500 in this series. So they got to win today, which they're definitely not going to do. So don't worry about that. at all.
All right, that's what we'll be doing tomorrow, reacting to a bit of it, getting you set for Game 3 in L.A., getting you set for Draft Night 1 in Detroit, and over at Dave & Buster's with the crew. It's going to be a busy, beautiful Thursday afternoon. What up, fellas? Zach by Philip Lindsay sliding in here. How y'all doing?
Yo, yo. What's
doing
up,
doing great.
Man?
How are you guys?
Man. We are good. We were talking a little bit about Caitlin Clark and her new shoe deal.
Yeah, I just heard that pulling in.
$28 million freaking dollars.
My guess is, if I had to guess, there will be an article released in like the next 2 years that deal already paid for itself.
That's what I said.
That would be my guess.
I heard you ask the question. I didn't hear your answer. I heard your response. But I think so too. Like Kisner did the math, so it's probably not right. But he said to make $30 million. If they go for $200 a pop, or I don't, they might be cheaper than that.
Yeah.
That's 150,000 pairs.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
8 years? Come on. She's going to, like.
So did she get bamboozled out this deal?
No, I don't think so. I think she didn't have a ton of leverage probably with the other brands.
Yeah.
And Nike's going to pay her more than anyone.
Well, so Adidas' offer was only $8 million.
Right. So.
And Under Armour took a run at her, too, and used Steph Curry as a part of the pitch.
And that their offer was $6
million. Yeah. I mean,
so not even close.
Not even close. And I don't know what those brands are thinking. I really don't. A $6 million investment for a company like Adidas is insulting to a star that has the power of Caitlin Clark. We've seen her elevate an entire sport in a way that I think maybe, I heard you just say his name coming in, Tiger Woods. Outside of that, I mean, who elevated an entire sport to such a degree that...
I mean, Serena Williams did. Serena Williams kind of elevated that sport with tennis. She's with Nike.
I know she's a star. She's a star. She's probably like the GOAT. She's probably like the tennis GOAT, I think. But I don't know if the amount of people were watching her the way that we're watching women's college basketball. I don't, and we can look up the ratings.
Look that up.
What do you guys think?
I also think it's a sport, like basketball, tennis. You know, it's,
yeah, you got a dying sport in tennis, and you got a game of basketball that people follow very closely.
Because somebody also said Mia Hamm too, which is the same argument. Mia Hamm had a great moment, but it's also soccer, and it's not at the forefront of what we do in this country. Yeah.
No, and I don't think it's the same.
You're right. You go from where you were with women's college basketball to what she did, and all of a sudden you went from zero to some of the most watched programs of the year, or whatever the case was. I mean, it's not even close, and it was all because of Caitlin Clark. And I think if you're a brand like Under Armour, you have to overpay for Caitlin Clark.
Correct.
And then you pair her with Steph Curry. Now you've got something.
Right.
Like to go cheap on it. No, you got to make a huge investment into someone like that.
But you have to have the money to do it.
Of course.
I think one of the biggest things and I know with the shoe deals, when it came to the football aspect of it, you had people like Vaughn signing with Adidas. You had a lot of people signing with Adidas because you were able to get lucrative money, right? Money right in your hand. With Nike, they were a lot of times, because I had Nike, right? And a lot of times with Nike, they were saying, hey, we're willing, unless you're probably Caitlin Clark, LeBron James, Tiger Woods, we're not willing to give you cash. We're willing to give you discounts or give you money to go and buy whatever you want in our stores. Mm. So I had like $10,000 every year for just
to go
Nike
use.
Gear,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But no money was coming in
because
they weren't willing to give it, because I wasn't a superstar like you would with Tiger Woods.
Well, how about this? How about this? You know who's a superstar? Jokic.
Mm.
You know who didn't get a signature shoe from Nike? Was Jokic. He signed with Nike. They put a little logo on it, but they did not produce a signature shoe to sell to the masses. I think there's two right now in the NBA on Nike, a Jason Tatum and a Kyrie.
Yeah.
KD is still with Nike.
KD is still with Nike. But like, yeah, but I think this is a big deal. We've never had a women's shoe, right? We never had a women's basketball shoe.
The Mamba,
it's a huge deal.
Mamba brand is starting to get into the women's game, and they just released, it was like the Mamba
Sita
or whatever. Like it was the first only women's shoe brand just recently, actually, from the Kobe brand.
But I just think a huge missed opportunity Under Armour, they got $30 million to be
able
to pay,
for
right?
Sure. Yeah.
To like try to flip the narrative of where Under Armour is going. Obviously they got The Rock, and they got Steph Curry.
Yep.
But if you could have got a Caitlin Clark, I mean, that could have been a difference maker for them. And just to let that slip through the cracks, and all of a sudden Nike swoops her up, and that's a big deal,
a big
obviously.
Deal.
But I think it will pay for itself. If I had a daughter, Guess what she plays for? Let's go get some Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
So now Jokic has his own shoe brand, correct?
He is getting one through a Chinese brand, which is really unusual. But you look at the Nuggets, it's called 361, and AG has signed with them, and KCP has signed with them.
And AG has his own shoe. It's like his signature shoe.
And we have yet to see Jokic's, and we may have just seen it for the first time today.
Today?
Oh, at Shoot Around.
Okay.
No joke. I'll show you guys pictures. And because he had been wearing the 361s or whatever, the shoe, but not his signature shoe, and we may have seen him debut for the first time today at Shoot Around, and it's really cool because the back of the shoe, and it's crazy now with the shoe. Like, I was thinking about this the other day at the game. These guys don't even attempt to, like, when I was growing up, you wore the similar shoe as your jersey and your uniforms. These guys don't even make an attempt. It's neon yellow. It's pink. It doesn't even matter. It's almost like they're going against it purposefully. But Jokic's new shoe, it looks like the back of it around the heel has a red strip almost signifying the Joker's smile.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
In the middle of it is supposed to be, I haven't seen it yet, but what I was told is supposed to be the tab of the Joker logo, and that's the middle of what the smile is supposed to be.
Yeah.
So remember his, like, NJ that looks like a Joker hat?
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be in the middle of
that. How many is he going to sell of those? That's going to go like hotcakes.
You know, I actually don't know about that.
No?
I don't know about that. I don't know if Jokic around the country, they'll sell crazy here, and I'm sure they'll sell crazy in China because it's an American MVP signing with a Chinese brand. But here in America, there's this
light. How many kids in L.A.? Are going to buy the Jokic.
Zero.
To your point.
600.
To your point.
600.
Zero, I think.
And I think you'll see a lot of Serbian Americans wear them.
For sure.
But there is a layer of disconnect between Nikola Jokic and the masses. And I think it's purposeful because not until this past year has Jokic allowed the American audience into his life. I was critical of Jokic in the past. Like, we don't even see Jokic around. He doesn't even go to Denver restaurants. He's a recluse. It's the first thing what are you going to do this offseason? Get back to Serbia as fast as possible. What do you think of Sierra's music? I don't listen to American music. Like, he forever did not. And then this past year, it started to change where he, for the first time at the parade, said, I love Denver. It had been almost a better part of a decade. We'd never heard Jokic say that. I love Denver. And then he is starting to appear in hotels.com. And now he's doing Despicable Me trailers. This is all within the last 350 days since winning a championship. And I wondered openly, and I think this was a conversation off the air, and I hope I'm not rambling, but I wonder if Jokic was purposeful in saying, I'm not doing any of that stuff until I win a championship. And now you're seeing the unthawing to Denver, to the American culture. And that's just a thought.
I like that a lot. It fits into who he is as a person, too, of like, I should earn that stuff. I should earn all of the stuff that comes with being a great NBA basketball player.
And it was last year, Lisa Salter was like, he's pretty good.
Yep.
You know, that was last year during the playoffs. This was after he's already won two MVPs. So that certainly could be the case. Did you watch that video of his brother? So I don't know if I would just be talking bad about him. I disagree with everything Zach said, by the way.
Zach,
so.
And his brother's
good
Zach,
one
Zach,
too,
Zach,
you know.
Zach, his brother's like 6'5",
6'6". Oh, yeah, dude. Giant. I have to turn sideways going through a door.
And you're walking around that arena? Be careful.
Hey, I thought that guy ate that punch pretty good, didn't you?
He certainly did.
He also, we were talking about today, if he's not pressing charges, like if somebody punched me in the face, I told Stoke, and I deserved it, I wouldn't press charges either. So maybe he knows he might have deserved it.
And maybe he did. It's just you can't do that. You just can't act like that at your brother's basketball.
What do you think happens?
Is the guy pressing charges? Do we know that?
But the NBA and Denver police have opened an investigation.
I mean, I think it's a scary precedent if you're just going to allow family members to strike what am I looking for?
Customers?
Patrons. That's what I was looking for.
Patrons is golf. That's not patrons. That's fans.
Sure. You're just allowed to hit fans as long as you're related to players.
Are the fans allowed to do some of the stuff that we don't know? No, they're not.
They get kicked out.
If I punch somebody in the face at Nuggets, I'm never going back to ball. not like my choice. Their choice.
Oh, they're going to ban you?
Yeah.
Totally. There's no question.
Same for you, too.
No, well, yeah.
Right. There's,
yeah.
There's no question.
But it'd be interesting to see what happens here. Do they handle it low-key, you know, under the table, like, hey, your brother needs to stay away for the next month, right? Or the NBA. If not, the NBA has got to get involved now. He'll be done for a year or whatever the case may be. Something like that might happen here.
It could. And this is not the first time that the Jokic brothers have been on the NBA's radar. Because if you remember, they traveled to Miami because they won that smoke with the Morris brothers.
Yeah, you got to send a message.
I was in total in favor for that.
Yeah,
just start striking fans in the audience.
All of a sudden, the Morris brothers had a different tune. Like, oh, mom said that we need to apologize. So we let this thing
look
go.
Like mafias, like they're the mob. Yes. I don't know if I would mess with them, even if I'm the NBA.
No,
I don't 100% not messing with them.
Yes.
Don't ever take sides with anyone against the family.
That's why Zach made a bad move earlier. I'd retract everything. Thing I would say, you got a couple minutes, just retract.
CB! All right. Off and rolling here on a hump day. Did the biggest question we have about the Avalanche start to get answered last night in Winnipeg? That's where we'll start coming up next.